The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. All brought to you from Bar Canada. The dates, Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing? We can't hear you. That's the only issue. We can't hear you on the mic. I can't hear you. Maybe others can. That's Kelly. He'll get on air. It's here at some point. If you can hear him, I can't. On the show today, Bill Krakenberger joins us, Unscripted with the Crack Man. Bill Krakenberger joins us. He does each and every Thursday on the show. And Zach Cohen will join us momentarily as well. He, of course, a VSiN senior editor and writer, co-host of Hardwood Handicappers himself, along with Kelly and Jonathan Von Tobel. He'll join us to talk not only Australian Open, but also, of course, NFL divisional round and the National Basketball Association. And by the way, since I mentioned Australian Open here, I probably should start with this. I don't usually start with a tweet, but I want to start with one from Hockey Skeptic, who I've met Hockey Skeptic. Great dude. I don't know if he wants his name shared, but I'll just go by his Twitter, Hockey Skeptic. He says, I know it's football, but in light of this Blinkova-Rybakina tiebreak, might be a good day for your spiel about how these tennis players are better at what they do than most anyone, et cetera. Not sure how anyone can watch that unmoved. Honestly, I think that's a great way to start the show. We will segue this into football because I do have a natural segue here. But this is, if you are not watching some of the drama in tennis's first major of the year, man, you're lesser for it. It has just been unbelievable. First of all, Iga Swiatek does get through the second round match against Danielle freaking Collins. She was down. Iga was 4-1 in the final set. She was down two breaks. She broke back on one of them and then was down 4-2, or I should say properly 2-4, love 40. So basically 5 points away from losing, and somehow came out of it from the dead to overcome Danielle Collins, the always feisty American. And so Iga's 2/7 of the way, if you will, through the gauntlet of a draw that she got. But what Hockey Skeptic is referring to is that overnight, while we were sleeping, if you think that wasn't drama enough, Elena Rybakina, the third seed in the entire women's draw, she loses to the Russian player Anna Blinkova. Rybakina is Kazakhstani. She loses to Anna Blinkova in a massive upset that I don't know if anyone could have seen coming. And she does so in a 22-20 tiebreaker. Now, just to let you know what that's all about, that's the longest tiebreaker in the history of Grand Slam tennis, men's or women's. Tiebreakers, the history of tennis is that, I'll just go back to 2010, the longest match ever, John Isner, a hard-serving American, was playing Nicholas Mahut. I believe his first name was Nicholas. They had a match where in Wimbledon, you didn't have tiebreakers for most of its history. And they played a third set where I want to say Isner beat him 70-68. You have to win by twos. That's not points like a tiebreaker. That's games. So it was a match that lasted over the course of 3 days. And so tennis instituted, even Wimbledon finally instituted a tiebreaker, but all the slams, they weren't uniform. They had different rules. Some went to 7, some went to 10. It was a whole thing. Last year, they standardized it so that every slam in the deciding set, if it goes to 5 on the men's side, if it goes to 3 on the ladies' side, you play up to 10. Have to win by 2. All the previous sets, you have to play up to 7. But they finally standardized it. And so you get this situation that you did with Rybakina and Blinkova. Got to see the replay. But Anna Blinkova, it took her 10 match points, 2 in play, and then 8 during the tiebreaker. Rybakina had 6 match points herself. And again, to Hockey Skeptic's tweet, there is nothing in sports, as much as we love football, as much as we do, and it is my first love, innately, as much as we love sports like that, baseball has a place in our brains, basketball for the Jazz that it is. But there is no combination better of physical and mental prowess than these tennis players go through. And so Blinkova pulls off the upset, a massive one. And so Swiatek goes from that moment where she was down 2-4, love 40 in the final set on the brink of elimination, 5 points away anyway, having a win probability of winning this tournament that was probably minuscule in that moment, yeah, to now having overcome that, now with the Rybakina upset. She's still got a gauntlet, still going to be tough, but the biggest part of that gauntlet has been removed. So again, if you're missing this, by the way, we went 4-2. I buried the headline. We went 4-2 in tennis as well last night, with a dog winning in Océane Dodin. So it was a big tennis night for us just on the plays itself. Forget about the futures play. But just as a macro.
You're open, me, guys.
What are you, you're open, Kelly. People are hearing you now, finally. We've got it all messed up with Kelly this morning. We hear you now, sir.
I'm here. I can't hear myself, but I'm here. All right.
Anyway, we'll talk to Zach more about tennis, yeah, coming up, but I just want to segue from that. So the tiebreakers, the rules in tennis and the slams, the tiebreakers changed, and therefore we had this epic 22-20 outcome in a big upset last night. We're doing the Beating the Book Megapod yesterday. Drew Dinsick, Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and I doing the Megapod as we do each and every Thursday during the regular season, Wednesday during the postseason, the Beating the Book Megapod. And we always stumble, because it's four of us, we always stumble upon random conversations. And I want to say it was Will who brought this up. If it was Drew, forgive me. We have been derelict of our duty to not mention, in the same way that I think some people are going to know this and remember this, but in the same way that a lot of people probably didn't know that Justin Tucker is one of five on 50-plus field goals this year, which, yep, we talked about the last couple of weeks, a reminder, a betting PSA, that in the postseason now in the NFL, overtime rules are different than they are in the regular season. And so this could create some in-game betting opportunities. Maybe you even think it'll create a pre-flop betting opportunity that we should be aware of in case the reminder is needed. So last year they got together, the NFL did. This is largely based on the famous Buffalo-Kansas City outcome in the postseason, the famous 13-second game, where Kansas City not only was able to force the overtime in that short amount of time, but then win it on one possession, if you recall. And because they won it on one possession, you know, the outcry, what had always been brewing, and a lot of people hated that rule that it only needs one possession in overtime and the other team doesn't get a chance to be on offense if the first team that gets the ball scores a touchdown. That became an outcry after that. So they changed the rules. And so now, if you score a touchdown first in the postseason in the NFL, that is not the end of the game. The other team, the team that does not receive the opening kickoff of overtime, gets a possession to match it. So,
yeah, one shot, though.
Yeah, but
yeah, one possession.
Theoretically, you could have 22 total points scored in an NFL postseason overtime. 8-8-6. So that's theoretically if the team decided to go for two. I'm just pointing out what the max amount of points could be in an NFL postseason overtime. So again, will in-game betting algorithms account for that? I don't know that they all will, quite frankly. And I also think it's just part of your handicap that you should keep in mind. Now, there's a couple other quirks to this. You have to have a winner. It can't finish in a tie in an NFL postseason. So you will play 15-minute quarters. And the first two 15 minutes will act as a half. So each team will get three timeouts in the first two overtime periods. Also, if you get a safety on the first possession, let's say you muff the kickoff and you botch it, you fumbled it, and you end up on the 2-yard line, whatever, and the defensive team scores a safety, gets a safety on you, that will be the end of the game right out of the chute also. So it could be as many as 22 points. It could be as few as 2 points in an NFL overtime. So again, just to, you know, maybe for your pre-flop totals, also maybe for games that are lined like we have this weekend, right? Like the Bills KC game is 2.5. Does that enter into your thinking at all? Again, we're just trying to add some different layers to an NFL postseason that we talk about ad nauseum. We didn't talk about it last week. Nothing got to overtime. Kelly, if something does get to overtime this week, which game is it? If I come to you from the future and I say one game got to overtime, which game was it?
Good question. I'm going to say the Lions and Buccaneers.
Really?
Yeah, I'll go with that one. How about that?
Okay. Lions and Buccaneers. So now, you know, what I was going to say is that I wonder if there would have been like a 7.5 point spread if they could get beat in overtime. with that, because let's say you get the ball first. It adds a bit of strategy too, potentially, right? Let's use your example. Let's say it's Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell gets the ball first. The Lions score a touchdown. Does Dan Campbell just kick an extra point there, or does he go for two? Because if you only get seven, you leave the door open for Tampa to get six and a two to beat you.
Man, we really haven't seen that many, right? We haven't really seen many examples of that, because that's the ultimate question.
These are the scenarios you have to think about when you're betting these.
I think in today's NFL, you have to go for two in that situation. I think you do. The extra points further out now, right? Like, I think that'd even be different if we were talking about the old extra point length, but with you knowing that the other team could come in and beat you still, I think you have to go for two.
And you have to bet accordingly based on these kind of strategic quirks now that exist in an NFL postseason. So just be aware of that.
I mean, and for our example, if you're holding a Bucks plus 6.5, you hope he goes for two, and you hope he misses
it. That's exactly right. If you're pre-flopping it, that's exactly right. What you hope for. That's right.
I'm glad you brought this up, because you're totally, absolutely right. This is like that Justin Tucker field goal thing where I'm like, as even you're talking about, I'm having to remind myself of these rules.
Yeah.
It is one of those where don't overly read into this for pregame, right? In game, it becomes so much more of a big deal.
And especially with an in-game total.
Yeah.
Because they'll throw a total up that is, maybe a little shaded higher than it would be in a regular season game. But keep in mind, it could be an explosion of points.
Right.
So, again, just handicapping angles macro beyond individual games itself to keep in mind. Sort of the tennis tie-breaking rules. Popped that in my head this morning because we got different tie-breaking rules, if you will, in the NFL. Yep. We're coming back. Zach Cohen, Australian Open, NBA, and NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, you got all kinds of things, including a deep dive into the Houston-Baltimore game, among other things. All the games, really. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Crackman still to come this hour. We'll get to your tweets as well. Zach Cohen joins us, everybody. We're always thrilled when Zach joins us, not only because he is a man who knows many sports, but he's also a guy who likes himself some tennis, and I'm always down for that. He's a recent senior editor and writer, co-host of Hardwood Handicappers as well, which he does with JVT and Kelly.
That's right.
Zach joins us now from his new digs. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Good. How's the move? Good?
All right. It's tiring, but I'll be happy when it's over. I think we'll be done by like Friday, tomorrow afternoon.
You got that new house echo going as well.
Like there's nothing in here, so it's just all echo.
It is always one of those things that you just rush to get everything done when you move in somewhere. I never work harder in my life than when I move into a new place.
Here's the real question when you move. Did all the boxes get there, Zach? Did every box get there?
Almost all of the boxes. We still have our apartment until tomorrow, so we're going back and forth and stuff. We did not do this very efficiently.
Okay. well, good. Congratulations to both you and your wife. Okay. Let me start with this before we get to your tennis plays of the day. I started the show. We had a tweet from Hockey Skeptic, and he said it best, because I always say it's the greatest. I know we're a football culture. We're a football, baseball, basketball culture, whatever order you want to pick, with football and college football, NFL and college being at the top of the mountain. But man, there is nothing like these tennis matches. Your thoughts on what you saw from Iga, what you saw from Rybakina, and what we're seeing right now. I'm not distracted at all. Medvedev having a go of it here against Rusevori.
It was nice to see Iga dig out that match. I mean, it would have sucked to kind of lose her. I know we both have her in the futures market, so losing her that early would have been tough. It does feel like she kind of got that bad Iga match out of the way. She kind of is good for one of them each tournament, where the forehand kind of, she loses the range. She just kind of loses herself mentally out there, but she got through it. It helped because Danielle Collins, she has trouble closing matches, but I do think that now that she's past that, that was a match that I was a little bit worried about. I think that now that she's through that, she should probably win the tournament.
If someone were landing on either the men's or women's side right now here, two rounds in after this match concludes, obviously, long way to go. And they were like, look, I want to make a futures bet of any kind that you feel there's value on the men's or women's side. Who would you point them to?
I mean, I don't really want to back off Iga now. I mean, it was like 225, 250 before the tournament, 185 now. She's won a few matches. I think that, like I said, she got through one of her tougher ones. So I still think that the number is pretty good on Iga. On the men's side, I mean, I still think that it's Sinner. I mean, Djokovic has not looked great this tournament. I have a slight fade on him tonight. I'm not picking him to lose, but he's lost a set in each of his two matches thus far. He's dealing with some type of illness, maybe just a cold, but, you know, hasn't allowed him to unlock his top level. And I think that until he does, he's going to be in trouble.
Djokovic is so funny with him, right? The wrist injury, now he's battling a cold. It's like, I'm trying to think, there is a boy cried wolf element to this, right? Because we've seen this before, and you don't want to be that way. You don't want to be callous about it. Maybe the wrist is bad. Maybe he's got a really bad cold. I don't know. But we've seen it before where he's like struggled in the first couple matches of a slam, and then like the next week he just destroys. What is your play in the Djokovic match specifically tonight?
I just have Echeverry to win a set. So I have +2.5 sets at +145 odds. I just think it's a kind of a perfect mix of Echeverry's playing really well coming into this match, beat Murray and Monfils in straight sets. You get Djokovic, who has lost a set in both of his two matches. I just think that Echeverry is a player that is really tough to beat when you're not playing your best tennis. He's so sturdy from the baseline. He has power from both sides. He hits the ball deep in the court, hits with some spin, and the serve has been better this year. I mean, it's a small sample size, but it's been better than it has been throughout his career. And if he's, you know, kind of serving in that 85% hold percentage range, he's going to be a really tough player to beat all season. So I think you get Djokovic, who's dealing with a little sickness right now. I think if he's not completely locked in at his best level right now, it's going to be hard for him to win in straight sets. So I like the plus money odds.
I like that too. Echeverry is a good player. Anything else on the men's side today?
I have Tomas Mihach. I don't know if I butchered that name or not, to beat Karen Khachanov. I think that that's one where I was really excited when I saw the price, because Mihach looked really good against Francis Tiafoe, beat him in three sets, was all over his serve. And I think that you look at Tiafoe and Khachanov, they're pretty similar in terms of serve. They both hold in the 80 to 85% range. So it was good to see Mihach kind of have a great read on it right away. And he's a really tricky player to play. He has power, but he also has, you know, a lot of variety. He can hit a lot of different types of spin shots, drop shots. He'll really make you move all over the court. And Khachanov is a player that, one of my favorite players on tour, honestly, but ever since the midway point of the 2023 season, he has not looked the same, because he had a big injury, came back, and he has not looked good. I just think this is a really tough ask for him to go out there and win. I also would be a little worried about Mihach's, like, you know, Grand Slam fitness, but, you know, he won two matches really quickly. So I think that that's going to be, you know, not a factor. I think he'll be able to be fresh and ready to go here.
Yeah. That player's last name is spelled, we should always do this with tennis, M-A-C-H-A-C, for those who are scoring at home. Yep. And let's just say you and I might be simpatico on that. All of our picks, by the way, Zach's and mine both, and everybody's, every host, every guest on the network at VSiN.com/picks. Anything else on the men's side here in the third round?
Nothing on the men's side. I have another women's play, though.
All right, what's on the women's side?
I'm taking Alicia Parks +1.5 sets against Goff, which was really just a number play. It was available at +300. I mean, to win a set, I think a player with Parks' ability to serve, that's a really good price. She's a player that she could be really erratic. She misses shots badly when she's playing poorly, but at the same time, she has as much power as anyone on the women's game. And I just think that her serve is going to be something that's going to help her compete in Grand Slams moving forward. She's a player I'm really high on. It might not be very soon, but Goff kind of always has another throwaway set as well. It's not quite like Iga, where she really loses herself, but even in her U.S. Open run last year, she was going to three sets pretty often. I think that Parks, if she's serving well, is going to have a chance to win a set. She just has so much power.
Okay, let's go to the NBA on a night. By the way, we got off here at, as we do every day, Kelly and I, at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, and literally 5 minutes after the show ended, we found out that the Warriors Jazz game was postponed last night because of an event with Warriors assistant coach Dejan Milojevic, who had a medical event during a team dinner. you sort of figured it was serious enough that it that for a game to be postponed, it must have been something traumatic. And in fact, we learned several hours later that he dies of a heart attack, which is just an awful, awful story. Age 46. And so obviously the entire NBA is affected by that. Games do go on here, and you have no real artful segue, but you do have a play on one of these tonight.
Yeah, I do. I have the Chicago Bulls -2 against the Toronto Raptors. Raptors won last night in that first game without Pascal Siakam, but I do think that that's type of situation where it's an emotional win. You're trying to go out there and prove you could win without an all-star. But now it's the second night of a back-to-back, third game in four nights for Toronto. I think they're going to be a little tired. Meanwhile, you're playing a Chicago team that lost bad against Cleveland 2 days ago, had 2 days to sit on that bad loss. They're going to come in well-rested. They're going to come in hungry. And I think it's a really tough matchup for the Raptors because the Bulls could throw Alex Caruso on Emmanuel Quickly. Quickly is kind of the head of the snake now in this new Toronto offense. So I think that Caruso, one of the best perimeter defenders in basketball, is going to do a good job of slowing him down. And I also think that the Raptors are going to be feeling Jakob Poeltl's absence in this game because Nikola Vucevic is a really big bodied center that is very skilled. I think he's going to do a really good job in this game. I just think this is a game Chicago should win. But I will say Toronto had a nice tribute to the Warriors coach running a play of his, first play of the game last night.
Yeah, and I think the entire NBA will pay tribute in one way or another. Well, I have the two handy hardwood handicappers, two of the three hardwood handicappers guys with me. Let me ask the both of you. I'll start with you, Zach. Siakam to the Pacers, as you just mentioned. Does that trigger any kind of bet for you in any way?
It doesn't. I think Kelly and I are on the same page with this. I just think that the Pacers were more than a piece away. So I think you bring in Siakam, you're probably a more competitive team in the first round, but I don't think you have, you know, real Eastern Conference contention, you know, I don't know, aspirations with him. I think you still need to get another player in the offseason, which they'll have the opportunity to do. They kept all of their young pieces, so they're going to be able to make another big trade eventually if they want to. But yeah, for now, I just think it's a team that's really fun to watch on the rise and heading in the right direction.
Cosign?
I think it's I think it's interesting building towards the, you know, building if what they're doing, building toward a future. I think for this year, I think it's the best way to describe is when we always talk about football and, hey, if you can cut a two-score game to a two-score game, you got to do that, Gil. It's felt a little bit like that, Zach, to me. It's, hey, you might have moved from the 5 seed to the 4 seed, but you're still well on the outside looking in the Eastern Conference, at least this year.
Zach, I know you don't have any divisional round plays yet. We'll look for them at VSiN.com. But real quick before you leave, who's in the Super Bowl, man? Chalk or someone else?
I said 49ers Bills before the season, and it doesn't look as good now, but I'll just stick with it.
I think it looks as good now, don't you? Yeah, it's got a good shot.
I guess I would say the Ravens if I were able to change it, but I would feel bad doing that.
No, well,
you feel bad about your preseason prediction about the 49ers and Bills?
That seems real good still.
Probably because they're all in. They're all still there. I feel like it'd be weird to change it, but yeah, I guess if you want to put a gun to my head, 49ers Ravens.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. We'll come back. More NFL next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by Bar Canada, or from Bar Canada here at the D. Remember, with Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite. With their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more, you're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee for a limited time. When you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy, boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Iron Wing Cards. Fair to say that Iga's win equity went from 1% at 2-4 love 40 to 60% with Robotkina out. I don't know if it's 60%, but it sure shot up massively. That's for sure. No doubt. Nikki Betts 303. Coming to Vegas next week. FYI, AVN Awards, he says. And SHOT Show. So we got adult films and guns basically in town.
Where are they doing those at these days? Wasn't it at the Hard Rock back in the day forever?
Oh, trust me. It was at the Hard Rock.
Oh, Gil knows. Yeah.
Can I be honest with you? It was kind of gross. It was kind of gross.
I feel like that's one of those things I would love to attend for all of 9 minutes. I'd be like, okay, got it.
There was an expo. I didn't attend that. But just seeing the dynamic walking around the casino.
It was not. Yeah. We'll be prime people watching, he continues. Have reservations at Nora's when I get there. Salami pizza will be the appetizer. Now you're doing it right.
There you go.
Now you're doing it right. Need a main course suggestion. Take care, y'all. Branzino, always great. Always great there. Jerry Robertson, congratulations, Gil, on your selections. One hell of a night in tennis. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Nikki Bett's going to say he's going to swing by the studio as well. Trip Tepper pointing out in that epic 22-20 record-breaking Grand Slam tiebreaker between Rybakina and Blinkova. He said the third set breaker was epic. The point at 18-17 will just take your breath away when you see it. How about Iga's match point? That was unbelievable as well. Chris Patrick, where has Daniel Berger been in the PGA? He has had back issues for years. He's back now and ready to play?
Yeah, he is playing this week. American Express starts this morning. He is in the field. He's been dealing with, it's really been bad. It's been the chronic back stuff that he's been battling through. We last saw him 2.5 years ago at this point, I believe it is, 2021 U.S. Open.
Daniel Berger was winning tournaments back then, too.
I love Daniel Berger. He's one of my favorite guys on tour. Really rooting for him here.
Leaflet, not telling. That's the Twitter handle. Recent closed captioning names of Kelly. Kelly Bitten, Kelly B. Legend, Kelly Building, Kelly Midland, Kelly Billion, Kelly by Line, Kelly Biden. DVOA with errant shots is a fun segment, too. Not errant shots, errant shots. Chris Jason reminding us, he says, maybe explains last year's draft. He's just randomly pointing this out. Remember on the run-up to the draft, because we're always lamenting the fact that we had tons of Stroud bets. And I was like, convinced. Carolina's trading up to number one. They're absolutely drafting Stroud. Plus money left and right. Remember that Stroud had scored... Remember that report that he had scored like in the 18th percentile on that S2 test it was? Yeah. I forgot about that part. Let's file that away the next time we hear something like that in terms of trying to, you know, project a football talent. Just to follow Veasan, another entertaining and informative Megapod yesterday. I happened to be on the road more on Thursdays, though, and really look forward to the Megapod to fill the time. This Wednesday nonsense is killing me. Did you guys even consider me? And no, I can't just listen the next day. That's great. And then finally, this is from Skateboarding is a Crime. Oh, no, there's more. Fun way for an 11-1 money line to go down last night in Melbourne. We're going to miss you, Danielle freaking Collins. Oh, no, we're not. So glad to get her out of the way. Chili Gambler. Gil, how about those down underdogs barking last night? Do you live bet tennis? I'd be very interested in a tennis live betting primer at some point. P.S. You should get Little John with Ursher on Radio Row. Yeah.
Yeah, Reba McEntire doing the national anthem.
That was a terrible Little John.
Got her on my list too. Don't worry. It's Usher and then Reba McEntire.
Reba's doing the national anthem.
Reba's doing the national anthem.
Who's doing America the Beautiful?
No idea.
Post Malone?
Got that.
I think I heard.
Really?
I think. Yeah. I can't do that. I just want to get Usher on there. About live tennis. I don't bet as much live tennis as I do pre-flop.
Yeah, post Malone.
You gotta do it in commercials, first of all, for sure. I do occasionally, but not as often as you would think I would, because I've just got so much action going on typically. But yes, the dogs are barking. 5 of the 10 top seeds on the lady side are gone. Rybakina, let me see if I can name them. Rybakina, Pegula, Jabeur, Vondrousova, and I forgot one. Sakkari.
I was about to be impressed because the tennis rankings are even worse than golf rankings are, right?
I hope you were impressed. I got through them all. Dom Perignon, I fell asleep with freaking Collins up 2 breaks in the deciding set, only to wake up to find my Rybakina plus 750 ticket became an expensive coaster. Tom F., survive in advance. This was Iga's Tyus Edney game for those of a certain age. Do you know that, Kelly? Do you know the Tyus Edney reference?
Nope.
UCLA, I want to say it was 1995. He went full court. Was it against Mizzou? Off the top of my head. Went full court with like 2.5 seconds left to win a tournament game for UCLA. They went on to win the national championship. Charles in Connecticut. Great discussion on playoff OT rules. Would be really useful to know how many points the algo usually adds to total of regular season OT games. 3.5, he asked. Yeah, typically 3.5. Comes down to, do you think the game will be won by a field goal or a touchdown? Well, yeah, as we were saying, this gets more complicated now. Way more complicated because you got to figure, is the team going to go for 2 or not? We'll get into the rest of the tweets a little later on. Appreciate all the feedback. Number one pick in the NFL draft, since we got that CJ Stroud tweet, Caleb Williams, in case you missed it, with the very unsurprising announcement this week that he would, in fact, enter the NFL draft. And so he is a massive massive favorite to be the number one pick, minus 900 at DraftKings, with the Chicago Bears currently holding that pick by way of the Bryce Young trade, or the trade that got the Panthers Bryce Young, one should say. Okay, so Caleb is minus 900. Drake May is plus 450. And if it goes according to the quote-unquote mock draft form in quotes, Caleb would go number one. Drake May would go number two to the Commodores. Jaden Daniels, 10-1. Marvin Harrison Jr., the shortest of the non-quarterbacks, at 11-1. Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix follow suit. Let me just ask you this.
Yeah. I got questions for you, too.
Yeah. A, would you bet this market? No. What?
No.
No, I wouldn't either.
No, not this one, but I think it gives us some insight to some bets that we'll make coming up.
A, was would you bet this? And B, if you were forced to bet it, and you're like, okay, you must absolutely bet it, isn't the answer clearly to take a long shot flyer, or do you go Drake May, figuring whoever's going to trade up to one might have him in mind over Caleb, or is a team that's going to trade there absolutely going to take Caleb anyway? There's a third scenario.
Okay.
Pardon me, then you can answer. Or do the Bears just keep it? Keep Justin Fields and draft Marvin Harrison, so you'd be betting Marvin Harrison.
I don't think that's happening because I do think that maybe they won't get everything that they'd hope for trading out of that pick, but they're still gonna get enough that it will make them move. Yes, I think Caleb Williams is probably the number one overall pick. I think this is also very, very early on, still in this process. Right, we're gonna learn a whole lot more in the next few months. I'm not shutting the door completely on anybody else. If I had to bet someone here, though, it would be Jaden Daniels. You brought up Drake May, multiple times. I don't really know that there's, to me, really a huge separation going to the pro level between those two guys. Especially when we've seen running quarterbacks do.
Here's the deal, but hold on. The only reason I bring it up, because I am of your opinion, I have said on this show, I'm like, hey, if it's me, I'm drafting a mobile quarterback because I think your floor is higher than if you take a shot at someone who's not mobile and it could be boom or bust.
Yep.
But every time I said that, right, like I brought it up when Schatz was here, Aaron Schatz, and shot, because I remember my comment was, oh man, Washington really going to draft another North Carolina quarterback right after, getting Sam Howell. Now we're going to draft Drake May. Come on. And he immediately pushed back and was like, oh no, the scouts have Drake May so much higher than they have Sam Howell.
I completely agree with you. Without a doubt, when you first enter the league, right, that rushing ability just gives you a higher floor, right? But when you're talking about first overall pick, second overall pick, third overall pick, you want to know what they're going to be like 4 years, 5 years down the road. You don't really care if they can run or not, as long as they're going to be producing offense for you. My point of bringing him up, though, is just when we do see markets like second quarterback overall taken, I'm interested to see what those odds are.
Much more than
I might
this.
Be making a bet on Jaden Daniels there. Also, what do you think? I've kicked this around with a couple people, and JVT and I were talking about it the other day a little bit, too. Over under how many quarterbacks go in the first round? Where do you think we see that prop set?
Four and a half.
Yeah. I think I'm hammering under.
Under?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know that. I think it's probably gonna be Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and I think it will be Michael Penix Jr. will get in the first round.
Four and a half might be a bad line.
I think the cutoff is there. No, I think it's gonna be 4.5, but I'm interested to see where unless where the juice is at.
Yeah, unless you believe this stuff that wherever Harbaugh goes, he's drafting J.J. McCarthy, which would completely skew that.
He would be one of the other guys, but I don't think he's going in the first round.
Speaking of that, Mike McCarthy stays with Dallas. You see that coming?
Sort of.
Crack is here. We'll talk about his division round bets, what he's got, if any, and ours as well. It's a numbers game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.